This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Ukraine authorities say weakened shelling by Russian forces killed at least seven civilians. VOA's Joe Ramsey tells us more.
While Russia continues to concentrate on seizing Ukraine's industrial east, Kharkiv province in the northeast and Zaporizhia province in the southeast came under rocket and artillery fire on Sunday. Kharkiv's governor says a 65-year-old man and a 34-year-old man died because of shelling in a formerly Russian-occupied city. He says Russian forces used multiple rocket launchers to target residential areas later Sunday. Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Officials say eight people remain missing after the building they lived in exploded and collapsed early Sunday near the port of Marseille. Mounds of burning debris hampered rescue operations on Sunday. More than 100 firefighters worked to extinguish flames deep within the rubble, but more than 17 hours later, officials said the situation remained unstable. Five people suffered minor injuries from that collapse, which occurred shortly before 1 a.m. A neighboring building also came down. Drones and probes have been used to examine the scene for signs of life. The burning debris was too hot for dogs and the firefighters' canine team to work until Sunday afternoon, though smoke still bothered them. Over the past few months, many streaming companies have started eliminating some of their own shows from their library. It helps save the company's money, but it now brings criticism that they're sidelining marginalized voices, shortchanging creatives out of already slimmer residual paychecks, and offering fewer options to their customers. This is VOA News. Pope Francis called for peace in his Easter message to tens of thousands of faithful in St. Peter's Square. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Recovering from a bout with bronchitis, Pope Francis presided over Easter services at the Vatican.
La gioia dell'annuncio della resurrezione del Signore.
With a message of Easter's renewal for those facing disappointment, as he led the Easter Vigil Mass in St. Peter's Basilica.
Alleluia.
The joyful Easter Sunday Mass was outdoors.
Apprettiamoci a superare i confini e le divisioni e aprire i nostri.
Pope Francis calling for peace around the world, including Ukraine and Syria, and an end to suffering in all the troubled hotspots. Flowers adorned St. Peter's Square as worshipers applauded his presence. I'm Jackie Quinn.
King Charles III will be taking a shortcut and a smoother ride to Westminster Abbey, trimming the procession route his mother took in 1953. As he aims for a more modest coronation that will include some modern touches. Buckingham Palace said Sunday that the May 6th ceremony will still be steeped in ancient traditions and adorned with royal regalia from the crown jewels. It will also feature its own bespoke emoji reflecting the first British crowning of the social media era. Queen Elizabeth II was the first coronation to be televised 70 years ago. The nation's top health official in the United States says nothing is off the table when it comes to making sure a commonly used abortion pill remains available to women. Details from AP correspondent Julie Walker.
Rallies and protests were held across the country this weekend. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden's health secretary, Javier Becerra, told CNN State of the Union they're doing everything to fight a Texas federal judge's ruling suspending the FDA's approval of mifepristone in use since 2000. The Justice Department already appealing, and there's also a competing ruling from a Washington state federal judge. Planned Parenthood President Alexis McGill Johnson says mifepristone is safe and the Texas judge's ruling is wrong.
He relied a lot on junk science, if I can even call it science.
Mifepristone and misoprostol, another abortion drug, remain available while the case works its way through the courts. I'm Julie Walker.
You can find more at voanews.com. Again, voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Today is Monday, April 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Junior Fo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, tension grows in the Taiwan Strait as China simulates a precision strike against Taipei.
Taiwan's defense ministry said its military had spotted dozens of Chinese aircraft and several ships near its territory by midday and was especially monitoring the movement of Chinese missile forces.
Israeli jets hit Syrian military targets in response to rockets launched towards its controlled territory.
State media in Syria reported explosions in the vicinity of the capital, Damascus. Israel said its forces had continued to hit Syrian territory after six rockets were fired overnight towards the Golan Heights.
And millions of Catholics around the world celebrate Easter Sunday. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. Tensions remain high across the Taiwan Strait as China's military carried out simulated precision strikes against Taiwan in a second day of drills on Sunday. This while the island nation kept a close watch on Beijing's missile forces. Diana To of Reuters reports.
China's military simulated precision strikes against Taiwan on Sunday in a second day of drills around the island nation. That's according to its state broadcaster CCTV, which said the military was maintaining, quote, an offensive posture around the island. Taiwan's defense ministry said its military had spotted dozens of Chinese aircraft and several ships near its territory by midday and was especially monitoring the movement of Chinese missile forces. Tensions across the Taiwan Strait kicked up a notch on Saturday as China began 3 days of military exercises around the island. One fraught exchange appeared to be captured in a video released by Taiwan's Coast Guard late in the day, showing an officer warning a Chinese warship to leave or face eviction measures. Taiwan's defense forces also reported spotting dozens of Chinese aircraft crossing the sensitive median line of the Taiwan Strait. The drills started a day after Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen returned from a brief visit to the United States, where she met U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, despite Beijing's warnings against it. China claims democratically governed Taiwan as its own territory and says it is the most important and sensitive issue in its relations with the U.S. It has also refused to renounce the use of force to bring the island under its control. Last August, after then-U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taipei, China staged war games around Taiwan, including firing missiles into waters close by, though it has not announced similar exercises this time. And life in Taiwan has continued as normal, with no sign of panic or disruption from the Chinese drills, which had been widely expected following Tsai's U.S. visit. The de facto U.S. embassy in Taiwan said on Sunday Washington was monitoring China's moves around Taiwan closely and was, quote, comfortable and confident it has sufficient resources and capabilities regionally to ensure peace and stability.
That's Diane Tone of Reuters. Israel's military says jets hit Syrian military targets on Sunday in response to rockets launched towards Israel-controlled territory overnight and as violence flared again following cross-border exchanges of fire during the week. Lauren Anthony of Reuters reports.
State media in Syria reported explosions in the vicinity of the capital, Damascus. Israel said its forces had continued to hit Syrian territory after six rockets were fired overnight towards the Golan Heights. Israel said artillery and drone strikes hit the rocket launches and were followed by airstrikes against a Syrian army compound, military radar systems and artillery posts. The Syrian Defense Ministry said its air defenses had responded to the Israeli attacks and intercepted some Israeli missiles. It said no casualties had been reported, with only material damage caused by the strikes. Lebanon-based Al Mayadeen TV said the rocket salvos that entered Israeli-controlled territory were claimed by Al-Quds brigades, the armed wing of the Iranian-backed Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement. Israel seized the Golan Heights in the 1967 Middle East War and annexed the 460-square-mile territory in 1981, a move not recognized by most of the international community. Earlier this week, over 30 rockets were fired towards Israel from southern Lebanon, drawing cross-border counterstrikes from Israel on sites linked to the Islamist movement Hamas in Lebanon and Gaza. The cross-border exchanges came amid sharply increased tensions between Israel and Palestinian groups following Israeli police raids in recent days on Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Despite fears of further violence around the mosque on Saturday, there were no reports of serious disturbances overnight.
That's Lauren Anthony of Reuters, and leaked Western documents with information about the war in Ukraine appear to have been doctored by Russia to minimize their own losses and exaggerate Ukraine's. VOA's Lauren Borman has more.
Photographs of English language documents bearing secret classification markings appeared on Twitter in recent days. Analysts say the documents appear to be real, but the information in them was doctored before being released via social media. Andrei Piankovsky is a senior fellow at the Institute of Modern Russia based in New York.
It's a leak, of course, from which the ears of Russian propaganda and special services can be seen, mainly because of the number of losses, which is absolutely ridiculous. 17,000 Russians and 75,000 Ukrainians. This mistake exposes them completely and shows that the main reason of this was to convince the Russian public that only 17,000 soldiers died.
The classified documents detail American and NATO efforts to build up Ukrainian forces ahead of a planned spring offensive. They contained information on weapons deliveries from the West, as well as the training and readiness of Ukrainian troops. The documents do not discuss actual field strategies and are 5 weeks old, providing more of a snapshot in time than a battle plan, analysts say. Analysts also say the edited leak was meant to make Russians and the world believe that the relationship between Ukraine and its Western partners is weak. Not so, says Ukraine. Mykhailo Podolyak is an advisor at the head of the Office of the President of Ukraine.
We had very constructive cooperation with our partners. Partners understand exactly what, how, and at what stage we are. Because it is essential, we must be in sync to receive specific tools for certain stages of the war. The partners must understand why, in what quantity, and what tools we need at different stages of the war. We inform our partners on all aspects.
Analysts say it's hard to measure the impact of the document's release on short-term fighting in Ukraine. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Laurel. More than 30 children were reunited with their families in Ukraine this weekend after an operation to bring them back home from Russia or Russia-occupied Crimea. They were allegedly had been taken from areas occupied by Russian forces during the war. Julian Kitchener of Reuters reports.
A familiar embrace as children were reunited with their families after crossing the border from Belarus into Ukraine. The reunion of more than 30 children follows a complex rescue mission after the children were allegedly taken to Russia or Russian-occupied Crimea from Russian-occupied areas of Ukraine. 13-year-old Dasha met her mother again on Friday.
We are very happy. We came back home. We've seen our mom for the first time in half a year.
Dasha's mother, Natalia, said she had traveled from Ukraine to Crimea via Poland, Belarus, and Moscow to get her daughters. She said it was heartbreaking to look at children left behind, crying behind a fence. Kyiv estimates nearly 19,500 children have been taken to Russia or Russian-occupied Crimea since Moscow's invasion, in what it condemns as illegal deportations. But Moscow, which controls areas of Ukraine's east and south, denies abducting children and says they have been transported away for their own safety. The humanitarian group Save Ukraine, which worked to bring the children back home, said no one in Russia was trying to help reunite the children with their parents. It claims some children say they lived with rodents. During a news conference on Saturday, a child brought back from Russia last month said he and others were told every day that their parents had rejected them. The Russian Foreign Ministry did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
That's Gillian Kitchener of Reuters. And former President Donald Trump was arraigned on 34 felony charges last week, accused of falsifying New York business records to conceal his role in paying hush money to an adult film actress before the 2016 election. White House Bureau Chief Pasi Weerasukwara looks at how the unprecedented charges could inject fresh uncertainties into the 2024 presidential race.
Never in American history has a former president faced criminal charges, much less one who is attempting another run for the White House.
It's an insult to our country as the world is already laughing at us.
Donald Trump was charged with falsifying New York business records to conceal his role in paying hush money to an adult film actress before the 2016 election. In the weeks since the announcement of the indictment, Trump raked in $12 million in campaign donations, suggesting the criminal charges may be helpful to him at least in the short term, said political consultant Julie Roginski via Zoom.
It really creates an aura of victimhood around him, which is something that Republicans have lately made a hallmark of their party and a hallmark of their electoral strategy.
After his indictment, polls showed Trump widening his lead over his likely Republican challenger, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Should he become the Republican nominee, in November 2024, Trump will likely face President Joe Biden, again, just like in 2020, which could mean good news for Biden, as it likely would galvanize the Democratic base and most independent voters, said Larry Sabato, director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, via Skype.
Biden is the kind of candidate who isn't going to generate millions and millions of votes because of his personality. He's going to generate those votes because they can't stand the alternative.
Trump will make his first court appearance in December. If he is found guilty and still wins the election, there's nothing in the Constitution that would bar him from being commander-in-chief. While this case is unlikely to land Trump any jail time, other criminal investigations, including on his role in efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, could lead to more serious charges and potential imprisonment. Richard Pierce, a law professor at George Washington University, via Skype.
I don't know how one could be effective as president of the United States while being in a jail cell, but there is nothing in the Constitution that would keep somebody from being president of the United States and being incarcerated at the same time.
But elections are not decided only by personalities. Other than the economy, which is looking increasingly positive for Biden, the incumbent, there are the so-called wedge issues that motivate American voters. Clifford Young, president for U.S. Public Affairs at Ipsos, via Skype.
Issues like immigration, crime, which are very important for Republicans that motivate that base, or issues like social equality, women's reproductive rights, safe democracy, which are all issues that motivate Democrats. We saw those issues motivating voters in the midterms this last year, and we expect to see it in 2024 as well.
Biden has not officially announced he is running for re-election. He'll likely do it when he doesn't have to share the political spotlight with Trump. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
In other news, Saudi officials are in Yemen's capital for talks with Iranian-backed Houthi rebels, part of international efforts to find a negotiated settlement to Yemen's nine-year war. The Houthi-run Sabah news agency says Saudi officials have met with the Houthi's top political official. It says an Oman delegation in Sana'a joined the talks. Yemeni and Saudi officials said the talks in Sana'a came after Saudi Arabia and the Houthis reached a draft agreement to revive a ceasefire deal that expired in October. They want to relaunch Yemen's political talks after months of Oman-brokered negotiations. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinua Ofo in Washington. Millions of Catholics around the world celebrated Easter Sunday, the day Christians believe Jesus Christ was resurrected. According to figures released by the Vatican in October of last year that covered the year 2021, Africa has 256 million Catholics. That represents about 18% of the continent's population, and it's 5.2 million more than in 2020. Elise Harris is senior correspondent with the Crux News website. She tells VOA's Carol Van Dam that in terms of, quote, recruiting, unquote, Africa is one of the fastest growing continents for Catholicism, something that is not lost on the Vatican.
Catholicism is growing in Africa at record levels, faster than almost any other place in the world. In another 50 years, it'll take over some other traditionally Catholic areas of the world, Latin America, Asia. Africa is on pace to really become sort of a Catholic superpower going into the future. And a lot of that has to do with just trends in population growth itself, right? Church is growing on par with, you know, the population on the African continent, but also kind of the church and its evangelistic, you know, activities there. There are a lot of missionaries present throughout various countries in Africa, seeing an involvement of the church at higher levels than almost anywhere else in the world.
But you could also look at that too and look at the other side of the coin. It seems like Catholicism is declining in other areas of the world, right?
It certainly is. And part of that, I think, is due to just demographics. There's just less population growth, particularly throughout the West, what you would think of, you know, in terms of traditionally Christian cultures, and an increase, along with that, an increase of secularism. Many African societies are still very traditional. They hold traditional family values. And, you know, in the West, we've kind of wandered away from some of that. So all those are sort of factors together, you know, and this is why I think another reason that Pope Francis is so interested in the African continent. He's made it a priority to visit several times now. He just most recently visited in January. He went to the Democratic Republic of Congo and to South Sudan, in part to promote peace, but also to sort of rally the people who are in those countries. I mean, right now, the Democratic Republic of the Congo has some 50 million Catholics. It's the most Catholic country on the continent of Africa. So he really is trying to prioritize this through his own outreach. And, you know, he's calling constantly Western nations to remember their Christian roots and to go back to that. The activity is decreasing in terms of not just the number of Christians, but really those who are practicing. It remains a cultural part of people's lives, but not necessarily in practice. And so that's really where Western countries are starting to fall off the map, is in practice, whereas Africa is growing and is really booming with priests and vocations, and they're sending sort of the excess priests they have to the West. And so now you have the situation where Africans are quite often being missionaries in what are traditionally Christian countries. So it's an interesting dynamic that's really taking shape and is set to increase in the coming years.
That's Elise Harris, senior correspondent for the Crux News website. She was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam from Rome.
This is Science in a Minute.
A team of astronomers using data from ESA's Gaia mission has discovered the closest black hole to Earth. They also found that it and another are in a new class of black holes. Both were found to be dormant black holes and are in binary systems, with each having a companion star. Since they were inactive, the black holes were found by studying the movement of their accompanying stars. The newly found object, called Gaia BH1, is located only 1,600 light-years away, and the second black hole, called Gaia BH2, is about 3,800 light-years away. They are considered to be stellar mass black holes, since they each weigh the equivalent of 10 suns. These black holes were put into a new class because the distance between them and their companion stars is much greater than other binary systems with black holes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
How do you get international news? Radio, television, social media, or all of the above? Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp, leave a message, comments, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code plus 1, then 202-258-3076.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Go beyond the daily headlines with VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. Each weekday, join us as we put the latest developments into a global context with stories, interviews, and analysis. Listen online at voanews.com/flashpoint or in your favorite podcast player.
every Wednesday and Friday at 9 p.m. UTC time with your pilot, Roger Moon, to listen to the RM Show, where you can respond to our question of the week, get some entertainment news, and enjoy some great music. It's all happening at VOA Africa. God bless. Peace, Africa.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com. And check out VOA Africa for more English language programming. You can find International Edition on our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Chinedu Afo in Washington. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States continues to promote efforts to hold Alexander Lukashenko's regime in Belarus to account for its repression of the Belarusian people and their democratic aspirations, as well as its complicity in and facilitation of Russia's war in Ukraine. Additional sanctions are one way to do that. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, has designated three entities and nine individuals and identified one presidential aircraft as blocked property. OFAC also redesignated the Central Election Commission of Belarus and designated seven members of the commission. The designations are part of a coordinated response by the United States, the EU, UK, and other close partners to the regime's ongoing brutal crackdown on the pro-democracy movement and civil society, which began after the fraudulent 2020 presidential election. But sanctions imposed on individuals and entities in Belarus are not only in response to Lukashenko's cruelty against his own people. The implementation of sanctions is part of the United States' firm resolve to promote accountability for Lukashenko and his regime's continued facilitation of Russia's unjustified war against Ukraine by putting Belarusian air, land, and infrastructure at the Kremlin's disposal. The authoritarian Lukashenko regime relies on state-owned enterprises and key officials to generate substantial revenue that enables oppressive acts against the Belarusian people, said Undersecretary of the Treasury for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence Brian Nelson. We remain committed to imposing costs on the Lukashenko regime for its suppression of democracy and support for Putin's war of choice. Specifically, OFAC has designated two state-owned enterprises, Open Joint Stock Company Belarusian Automobile Plant and Open Joint Stock Company Minsk Automobile Plant. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced the Department of State has taken steps to impose visa restrictions on an additional 14 individuals under Presidential Proclamation 8015 for their involvement in undermining democracy in Belarus. These individuals include regime officials involved in policies to threaten and intimidate brave Belarusians exercising their human rights and fundamental freedoms at great personal cost. The United States will continue to impose costs on the Lukashenko regime and those who support it for their repression of the people of Belarus and their democratic aspirations, the regime's dangerous and destabilizing activity in the region, and its ongoing facilitation of Russia's unprovoked and illegal war against Ukraine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.